Okay, welcome, welcome everyone. I'm so excited to be with you tonight. We are gathered around sunset. It looks pretty beautiful from this point of view. You can see the elaborate altar. That's Oya and Olokun, my mother and father, holding it down with all my ancestor stuff. I've got a little mini ancestor altar and that white plate to the right. And so we are supported from all four directions to call in this new season, new 6 weeks. As we access the or activate or connect with the harvest time of year, this is a powerful time and only one of two times in the year where we can connect to literal physical balance. So I always kind of repeat that throughout. It is highly encouraged that you tap in wherever you can to restore balance to your mental, spiritual, physical, emotional selves, right? This is what we're doing. Recalibrating with the light. Let's stay in sync with the season. So if I were gonna break it down for some of my newbies, we do look at winter, spring, summer, fall as the turn of the wheel that everyone's pretty familiar with. Has to do with Aries, Libra, and Cancer, Capricorn energy. So that'll be in your post-call goodies as to where that's activating just for you personally. These are the active kind of choices and decisions and things we have to make when we're making moves in the world. There's lots of activity, there's things to do with other people and all that kind of stuff. So we look at that period as the part that we know about, that we're familiar with, as, like I said, following the solar rhythms around the wheel. What I like to get you in tune with is the month before and the month after. The month before the turn of the wheel at winter, spring, summer, fall is always processing time. It's always Gemini, Sag, and Virgo, Pisces in our charts, and it wakes up our processes, our physical processes, emotional processes, mental processes, and gives us a chance to integrate our lives on a certain level, which a lot of people bypass and just skip on through life and don't really process or integrate. And so then the wisdom that they're gaining along the way is never embodied. So we want to do our processing prior to the turn of the wheel. And then as we make these choices and decisions at the turn of the wheel with winter, spring, summer, fall, the month after is always Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius time, which are the fixed energies. And this is where we either anchor permanently or release permanently. The fixed energies and the fixed areas of our chart is where we do that aspect of life. So I always want you to get the rhythm. We process, choose, anchor. We process, choose, anchor. If you don't do your processing, you're not going to make good choices. If you don't make good choices, then what you anchor permanently or release permanently can also mess you up. So it's going to be important that you honor the season and what time it is. And so if you're lucky, you've already been processing with Mercury retrograde and Venus retrograde. You've already had some things put in front of you that tell you it's time to upgrade the systems for living in a certain kind of way. Certain things are no longer working. We're feeling blocked over here, but open over here. So you want to work with the energy that's open and flowing for you and available to you and not try to push the river or force anything else. We're going to get into the energetic support. We're not quite out of shadow for all this either. So technically, we're still processing, right? But over the next 6 weeks, you will be making some commitments and some choices over the course of the next 6 weeks. So we want to look at what's been going on. We're at harvest time, 9 months into the year, which basically means whatever's done is done. Make it work, work with what you've got, and honor the energies, plug up the energy leaks, right? So that we're not leaking energy that could be better used. If you realize by now something's not going to take this year, you want to withdraw your energy from those projects or people or whatever, and bring in that grounding that you need to take back those resources to channel them another way. That's what we want to do. And this throat is not clearing easily, y'all. Give me a minute. Okay, y'all. Let's try that again. So we talked about the rhythm for the year, following the seasons, which is definitely my thing, y'all. I will say that once I started doing that, life started working a little better because I was going with the energy, going with the flow of where the solar energy is our fuel and our fire and our activation of transformation and the power that we have to move through our lives the way we choose. So we love to honor the turn of the wheel. It gives you permission to keep it moving where you don't get stuck in one area of life, But you get to keep moving along with what's supported. If it's processing time, do your processing. If it's choices and decisions time, then do your choices and decisions. And if it's time to anchor or release, then that's what time it is. You want to go with the flow when you can, right? I understand that we can't always stop and drop for the planets, but when we can, I'm telling you, things do work better. So the energetic support we're looking at around this season, this next 6 weeks, basically this is September 22nd to November 7th of 2023. So November 7th will be the next fire ceremony for those of y'all that want to come and do it again. So this is where we look at, like I said, what's going to support us as we navigate the next 6 weeks. We cover the energetic support, which is kind of overall. I'm going to go a little bit by who's active. And then the activations are when the planets interact with each other. That gives us access to energy as well. And it gives us an understanding of the vibe and what's going on around us, again, so that you can work with what's supported. So our energetic support, I always start with the moon. And we're gathering on the 22nd and about 7 days from now in the processing department. So it's a good time for us to be into this ritual. You should still be thinking about on the back burner throughout the night, the things that I mention or talk about. Certainly when we get to the divinations, the things you want to release to the fire. Hopefully you all have your own little fire safe bowls and things that you can rip it up and burn it and then take the ashes to living water or bury them in the earth to be composted back to mama. That is generally what we do, a burning bowl on the full moon every month. You can do it. A spiritual bath is a cup of white vinegar, a cup of baking soda, and a cup of sea salt. And that cleanses your aura and it makes your skin super soft. So there's lots of ways we do cleansings at the turn of the wheel as well. So our lunar support is this full moon coming up is going to be a huge release on 9/29 with an Aries full moon that is the precursor to the Libra new moon solar eclipse. This is a new series of eclipses coming in. So we still have about a year, year and a half to go with Aries Libra eclipses. They are just getting started. This month brings the second one in a series of six. So our Aries full moon is allowing us to release anything that is no longer part of your identity or purpose. It's no longer who you are or what you want. This is what you can give to the fire. You know, if you're rebirthing your identity or your purpose and your passion for the things you want to do in the world, you know, Aries is all about you, the individual. But we come to this full moon that precedes the new moon means we need to do a clearing in order to plant those seeds clean and on a good foot going into the new moon. The thing about the new moon, which is happening October 14th, is that it is a solar eclipse. So it's bigger than the annual Libra new moon. Every year, we would get a chance to call in new levels of relationships, collaborations, and partnerships. And now with the eclipse, we're calling it into the tune of 10 and 20 years. So once again, I did not write those years down, but I think I kind of know it by heart now. It was about 02 to 05 last time we had these Aries Libra eclipses. And then the midpoint would have been like 2013 to 16-ish. So we know that we had upgrades during those years to our individuality and to the relationships and partnerships that we attracted along the way as our identity evolved, right? So think about those years and what kind of relationships were you engaged with and what was working and what was not. The idea with cycles and patterns is that if it was going well, then you can take it to the next level. If it did not go the way you wanted it to those years, then you want to be super conscious about not repeating mistakes. So being mindful, tracking as best you can look through your photos, if you have journals or calendars, things that you can go back and look at those years just to see what you were up to. It's usually pretty telling and interesting. Now, as we move through the Aries Libra lunation, is that we're resetting ourselves. And then, like I said, the things that we want to call in with our partnerships and collaborations. That is leading to the last Taurus full moon lunar eclipse in the Taurus Scorpio series. So we're finishing up one. We're in the crossover year, which is always very chaotic. And so we are coming out of about 2 years of a shift in our values. Now, of course, we could tie that micro to macro. The world shifted, COVID shifted all our values, right? But internally, these eclipses have to do with the moon and the sun. That's way more personal, internal, and you, the individual. So where the upgrades happened around our values and priorities and our creature comforts and personal security, how we define those terms, like what's sustainable, what's natural, what's healthy. Now we're shifting to the people we got to deal with to do that, to have that new level. and the new values expressed at this higher level now that you have more consciousness, more experience, all that. So we're starting one series and ending another right during this 6-week season that we're talking about today, tonight. So as we move to 10/28, that's October 28th, is really close to Halloween, and all the ancestor work is going to be in full swing by then for the Taurus full moon lunar eclipse. So now we're breaking patterns again for 10 or 20 years. Think of a couple of years after the ones I already mentioned. When we get to the post-call goodies, I'll make sure to list all the eclipse years, I promise. Know that you are shifting so that you can get to the November 13th Scorpio new moon, which is the conception point where you conceive basically the new year. If you're just working on an annual rhythm, or for you, the individual, you might be conceiving a whole new you that you want to birth in the new year of 2024. So the lunar work is very tied to the eclipses, y'all. Eclipses are radical change agents. They shake things up and wake things up and remind you of those cycles past that I mentioned. And it's usually out of your control where you have to change or make a choice or go in another direction. Like I say, you might be going along your path and you hit a dead end and you have no choice but to turn left or right. That means the universe is asking you to make a choice to go this way or that way. And we're all sort of at a crossroads of going to our own next level after the break to realign around all our values over the last couple of years. So as your values shift, of course, your interactions with other people and the type of relationships and collaborations that you can magnetize is going to shift as well. Now, like I said, we're talking today on the 22nd. October 4th is when Mercury finally comes out of all its retrograde zone and moves into Libra. So we always think about what things do when they move on from the process. Mercury's been in the process, upgrading our systems for living and doing a mental body upgrade. And now, as it moves through Libra, we can actually contemplate the kind of relationships or collaborations we want to call in. We can access a little more mental balance with Mercury in Libra. I like that. It's going to be there till October 22nd. Then it'll move into Scorpio until November 10th. And like I said, the next time we get together for a seasonal shift will be November 7th. So this whole season, you want to think Libra, Scorpio, Mercury moving through that zone in your life, waking things up, making you think a little differently about your primary relationships and your intimate partnerships. There's a huge upgrade because of the lingering in Virgo that recalibrated your systems and kind of, like I said, what's healthy or natural or functional for you, the individual. And now you got to go renegotiate with the people you love. That's Mercury and the mental update, right? Or let's say upgrade. On October 8th, Venus is going to move into Virgo and finally get out of her Leo retrograde zone. And she'll be in Virgo till November 8th, which is right when we get together, and she'll move into Libra at that point. So she's really going to be in Virgo for this solid time between October 8th and November 8th. Oh my God, it's an exact month. So there you go. That is, again, the first thing she does after the upgrade in Leo. So now that we've upgraded our creativity and self-expression and our presentation to the world, how we would like to present ourselves personally or professionally, now we go through Virgo and it's like, again, what works, what's functional, what's natural, what are you going to be able to maintain and sustain? Venus is relationships and finances. So while we've had this huge rearrangement going on in Leo, now we can get organized. We can reset the systems. We can put new systems in place. It's gonna be good. But you're of course gonna have to negotiate with those people closest to you. And then on 10/10, October 10th, Pluto goes direct in Capricorn. So we have one more year of it zigzagging back and forth over the end of Capricorn, beginning of Aquarius. This is facilitating a huge upgrade. But why it's relevant to us in this time is that it has been backwards already for probably 4 months, 4 or 5 months. And that's been facilitating another aspect of transformation on a deeper level. Again, over those end of Capricorn, beginning of Aquarius zones in your chart, Pluto is purifying, distilling things back to their essence. And in this case, we are making the deeper connection to the ancestors. Capricorn to me represents the council of grandmothers, the council of elders, and the ancestors who have the wisdom, right? The feminine wisdom. Capricorn's an earth sign. I mean, Saturn is the feminine. It's been hijacked by the patriarchy to be masculine, but that's not its nature. So while Pluto's moving through there, getting us reconnected to what fundamentally works and what works for the greatest number of people. But as it moves through Aquarius, we're going to have to figure out the balance between humans and technology and what is natural for us and how much of this AI can we really stand before we blow ourselves up. You know, it's going to be a crazy and deep with Pluto. Pluto digs up what's toxic and rank and decayed and has run its course completely and needs to be composted back to zero, basically. I don't know how many new folks we got on here, but I guess I could give you my quick little Pluto rundown. As it moved through its home sign of Scorpio, it spent the shortest number of years doing the deepest, most powerful transformation it could do in Scorpio. But if you know anything about the 80s, there was also a lot of weirdness around money and power and sex and death and all the deep Pluto Scorpio things. So I feel like we got purified and upgraded there. In the 90s, Pluto went through Sagittarius, and that's when the Vatican was exposed and all the organized religions were proven to be a certain level of toxicity when they weren't done with integrity. And as it moved from Sag and all the religion and the belief systems and everything that was toxic about that, it's gone through Capricorn. And we know it's been the systems and the corporations, government institutions, healthcare, education, all the toxicness around that. That's in those departments, right? So when it gets to Aquarius, it's going to dig up what's toxic about the technology versus humanity and what's good for humans. So we'll see how that goes. But going direct is a good thing. While it's backwards, we actually have more access to Pluto energy for our own personal transformational use. But when it goes direct, we start to see the changes in the world. But you should know that anytime any planet stations retrograde or direct, which means they're standing still, that's what that station means. They're parking for a minute, gathering the energy, intensifying the energy, concentrating the energy in one particular place, and then they move on. So that 10-10 will be a really transformative day, no matter what. And if you have strong Cancer, Capricorn, or Aries, Libra, then it is personal. The very next day, Mars enters Scorpio. This is going to be for two, she usually spends about 2 months, but it says October 11th to November 24th, which I think is around Thanksgiving time. So that's definitely past our meeting on November 7th. So the whole time, our 6 weeks, Mars is going to be in Scorpio. That's another rebirth conception point around who you are and what you want. Mars is your choices and actions, what you're passionate about, what gets you moving and active and proactive on your own behalf. It is all about you. Scorpio is very personal and it's very psychic. So you should be able to trust your intuition as you make the connections. Again, after the upgrade of values and priorities and the upgrade of systems for living, now you can go forward. Scorpio is our creative power. It's how we manifest anything. We have to go into the void where seeds germinate in the darkness and conceive the new vision. And so we want to get real clear on what we're bringing from our consciousness into form. And what do we want to rebirth? So we get to rebirth something that also Mars takes 2 years to get around through all 12 signs. So it hasn't been in Scorpio for 2 years and it won't be back for 2 years. So that's also a good energetic signature for my Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius babies, because that's going to activate energy and passion and awaken something, or at least start getting you going on the new conception that you want to birth going forward. October 17th, Juno moves into Virgo and is going to retrograde and go direct. So now here we got someone else that's going to linger in Virgo after our mental upgrade. Now we're going to upgrade our partnerships. Juno's what we're deeply wedded to, committed to, and how we do partnership and usually intimate partnerships. So again, we have to go back to what's healthy and natural for you, the individual, and how can you increase that health and well-being of your partnerships and collaborations. Let's use her for that. It'll be the whole time. It's going to be a 10-month process, y'all. So she's going to be there in Virgo all the way till August 9th of 2024. That is damn near a year. And for my Virgo, Pisces, and Gemini, Sag babies, that means a serious upgrade to the partnerships and collaborations department. Again, with the processes, the systems, the support, the organization around how you do partnership, tending to those details. That's what Virgo always wants us to do. And then we get into a little early November. It's getting interesting too, because November 2nd, Vesta, who's lingering 10 months in Cancer. So what is sacred to you, the individual, at this moment First of all, it takes them 5 years to get back around to the same sign. Lingering for retrograde, it's probably been 35 years for all I know. I'd have to look it up. But making your self-care sacred, not just important, but sacred, is where it's at. With Vesta, we tend to focus. So with Cancer, it's what feeds you and nourishes you on the deepest soul level. What allows you to have good boundaries and protections, because Cancer is kind of security oriented. And how do you work your boundaries? Vesta's you, the individual, the virgin who is whole unto themselves, right? So this is very, very personal. And Cancer is what is safe and nourishing and loving and compassionate that works for you. That's where that upgrade is happening. And what her lingering there is going to affect the other departments of Cancer, Capricorn, and Aries, Libra as well. November 3rd, the very next day, Saturn goes direct at zero Pisces. So this is so interesting, y'all, because basically it just entered Pisces within the last year, went all the way, I'd say, to like 27 or something, and then it went all the way back to zero. So we are getting an extended stay. Saturn's going to be there for at least 2 years, upgrading our reality. And again, with our purpose and identity and things that we are responsible for in the world, our boundaries and protections are very big while it's navigating Pisces, because we want to be able to follow our intuition and negotiate those boundaries that are best for you, the individual. So this is when Saturn goes backwards, we get to refresh and reorganize the reality that we're living. So we've already spent the last 4 months or so doing that. With it going forward, it allows us to again make some moves. So I kind of like that. This is what happens every year. There's sort of a rolling retrograde where they all go backwards, and then a rolling direct where they all go forward back to back. So that's going to be useful for moving toward the end of the year, getting ready for the new year, getting organized. But it's also going to ask you to take some time out, some intentional solitude to do your processing. What's been going on in your world that needs to be stabilized or reorganized or needs a deeper dedication or commitment, let's say. And what's going on in your Pisces department, that's where all the stability is coming into and where you get to renew the reality. And with Pisces, it's the vision. What can you imagine for your life? Okay, the fire likes that one. It wants us to use our imagination. The fire just popped big time, y'all. I don't know if you saw or heard that. Yeah, the spirits do talk through the fire, y'all, every time. And the last one is November 8th. So we'll be getting together on November 7th, hopefully, is Venus moving into Libra until December 4th. So, like I said, for most of our whole 6 weeks that we want to talk about, she's in Virgo. But the minute we get to the next season, she'll be moving into Libra. And so when we shift from Virgo to Libra, it's always about taking care of your needs and yourself in Virgo so that you are better able to commit and deal with other people in the Libra realm with relationships. So that is the energetic support. Do we want to take a pause? Does anyone have any questions?
This is Kim. I was going to testify if you have
Thank
time.
you, please. Absolutely. This is what we do on this night.
I'm actually kind of surprised about what I'm about to say, but back in August, I was given dates. And now that I'm looking at what I was given in August, I see that it was for me to process, choose, and anchor, just like you talked about. It was very specific. It was literally the 22nd of August. I realize now that that was my processing. The 22nd of September is when I'm choosing, and the 22nd of October is when I'm anchoring. It's interesting because, like I said, I found that in my notebook that I had written that down back in August. And so as a tracker, I see that, okay, I've been tracking that. The other thing I want to share, it goes with these 22s, and it's just something that happened today that made me once again go back and say, okay, why are these numbers, I see numbers, why are these numbers yelling at me? And so, yes, the first part of the testify was I was in the car at lunchtime, and there was a car in front of me, and its license plate said 6622. I didn't think anything of it until I looked at my clock, and my clock said 1122. And so I said, okay, for me, that is, hey, you need to pay attention. And then in my head, I heard add them together. And as I was adding them together, the person on the radio said 744. So then I really had to, okay, let me take note of that, because that's telling me, hey, there's repeated numbers and it's not random, all that kind of stuff. And so once I got home and kind of did some stop and did some study on today, today being September 22nd, today is both an 11 and a 22. So I want to talk about that really quick for anyone else that set them free. But
yes, please. Thank you.
So today is both a 1-1-2-2. So first I'll just talk about 1-1-2-2, and then I'll talk about why today's an 11 and why today's a 22. So 11-22, it's step out of your comfort zone and leave old and outdated things, ideas, whatever that is behind. Make a concerted effort to steer your life towards a more spiritual-based life and lifestyle. So like I said, today is an 11. So it's an 11 universal day. What that means is when you add the 9 plus the 22 plus 2020 equals a 7. And the way I do it, you keep the 22 whole. So 22 plus 16 or 22 plus 7, both of those numbers, you either get a 38-11 or you get a 29-11. So 11 universal day is all about promotion. Like we're all getting promoted right now. Promotion, limelight. It's a day of illumination, inspiration, vision. It's a 2 plus more leadership, and we can talk about engineering, television, AV, all that good stuff, but it's a spiritual day. But today's also a 22, so it's a 22 day of the month. So your day of the month is also very important in numerology. So it's a master day. It's a mix of material and business world. And, you know, I know you were talking about Libra earlier, so a 22 is all about balancing emotions and the practical side of your nature. Rest is the remedy for when you are nervous and high strung. I know you were talking about resting earlier, so 22 is definitely a call to rest. Be a universalist, far-reaching power, follow your hunches, it's very intuitive. Live constructively and harmoniously, but happens doubly for you. And then one more thing I'll say about the 22nd, since it just keeps coming up. In numerology, the end of a numerology week is the number 9, and then it starts back at a 1. So, and we talked about, you know, the process, choose an anchor. 22 August for processing, the 22nd of August, 23, that would have gone to a 1. That's a 1 universal day. And so then we look at the 22nd of September. Like I said, it's an 11. 11 is also a 2. And then October, the 22nd of October, 2023 is a 3. So each one is 1, 2, 3. And they don't go all the way up to 9 because the years always change. And once the year changes, then that number changes as well. We actually start back at a number 4 on the 22nd. But just for anyone who's looking at that process, choose an anchor, you have a perfect time because last month was a number 1 on the 22nd. Like today is a number 2 or an 11. And then next month is a 3. So you're able to, 1 is all about action. 2 is all about reception. And 3 is all about what you're going to create with all of that action and reception that you had. So that's all I want to give because, like I said, it came as a full one today.
I love it.
Drop all those things off. I'm not going to go into the 6622 and the 7744. That's something else. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that I was giving.
Well, I'm going to give you even more because our divinations tonight are the African goddess rising cards.
Oh.
And we got 29, 38, both 11s.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
Number 40, which is a 4.
Yes.
For the 22. Oh. So we still got the numbers popping, y'all. Oh my god. Thank you.
And
girl.
when I wrote down 1022, I'm just gonna get it to you. The 1022. Well, my personal year is an 8. So if anyone else has a personal year of an 8, 1022 with a personal year of an 8 is a 4. And it's a 44. As in, four plus zero equals four. So yes, 100% in alignment. They're not playing with us. And like I said, I got a full whatever it's called transmission of every number that we all needed to know.
Exactly. I love it. Thank you, darling. Oh, I'm so grateful to Kimberly. And anyone else want to pop in before we go to the activations and the divinations?
I have to come behind that.
Tanita, come on.
She gave me goosebumps. Because yesterday I was talking to my niece and she was like, oh yeah, I need you to go to my unit. It's 3122, right? Then when I went to bed last night, before I went to bed, I started making this peach thing. I don't know. I was really in the autumn mode last night. So I made like a peach puff pastry thing at 1122. I started it, right? It took 22 minutes to complete it. Then on top of that, I went to bed. The last number I saw was 156, which equates to 111. I'm creeping. I can't wait for the divination. I love it. I love it here. Okay? Yes. I love it.
This is our happy place, I will say. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, everybody. So our activations that I jotted down that were kind of special. October 8th, Mars in Libra is going to square off with Pluto in Capricorn. So I just always talk about this alignment. When Mars and Pluto do anything together, we all have to just be mindful of our tempers and our frustration and anything that's been underlined that could get triggered, right? So that's the deep subconscious that Pluto represents. Mars is the spark that could trigger things. So let's be mindful. It's relationships and responsibilities, being challenged to grow out of comfort zone into new territory, but we can co-create. On the 13th, by then, Mars has moved into Scorpio on the 11th. So by the 13th, it trines Saturn. So I think this is interesting because first we have to grow and change in how we do our relationships and our commitments. And then when it shifts to Scorpio, it's Scorpio and Pisces. Mars and Saturn are super productive. Anything you're thinking of, dreaming of, visioning, you can manifest when those two get together in a trine with ease and grace. Now, Scorpio is your inner psychic. Pisces is your inner intuitive. They both are water signs and the Cancer. All the water babies need good boundaries, okay? Earth and water work together for a reason. We want to give the flow a structure. So being mindful of the emotions and the feelings and the things that are coming up in the month of October, especially as we move through ancestor season. I know most of you are into it like I am. And so things start happening. Magic starts happening. We're opening the door right now. This is the time of year when the veils are thinner and it's easier to commune with our angels and ancestors and animal spirit guides. So you want to be ready for that too. That October 13th is right around, didn't we say, the 14th is the new moon eclipse, y'all. So it's going to be huge energy around that for resetting a higher level of how you relate with others, how you allow them to interact and relate with you. That's a huge upgrade. And then while Mars is in Scorpio, what do you think happens? It opposes the Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus energy. Jupiter's only there once every 12 years. Uranus is only in Taurus every 84 years. So this is a big deal. Mars is only in Scorpio every two. So an opposition means we have to integrate the opposites. We have to find the middle ground. We have to balance and integrate certain things in our Taurus-Scorpio departments. And what's happening is the Taurus department has been getting expanded for the last 1 to 6 years, as Uranus has like another year or two to go. It's been waking us up to our primal needs, our essential needs, how we take care of ourselves and what is actually sustainable, right? They don't make it easy. You know, the powers that be want convenient, not sustainable. And we're fighting a pretty big machine in that way. But when these two get back to Taurus, it is about our values and about being more natural and organic with everything. Mars and Scorpio, like I said, is just a huge reset, a conception point around who you are and what you want. In this case, what story do you want to tell around the beauty and comfort and security of your life? What have you cultivated with your life choices, even just over the last 9 months to a year alone? If we just keep it in that zone. But if you want to go deeper, think about this. We're still in the midst of Taurus Scorpio eclipses during the 1 year or the couple of years that Uranus is there, that these bigger planets are there. So it's micro to macro. It's individually, socially, and collectively being activated. And there goes the fire again for us to renew our connection to Mother Earth and to nature and to being more, what is the word? I want us to be sovereign, but we want to be more respectful and reverent. That's the word I'm looking for, of Mother and the sustainability of how we live in and make the micro changes that you can. I mean, again, we're up against a pretty big machine, but you can do what you can do in your little corner. And that's what we encourage you to do. So October, these dates that I'm giving you are prayer days. So October 8th prayer day is Mars to Pluto in a challenging way. October 13th is Mars to Saturn in an ease and grace way. So you want to be writing down your petition, light a candle and put a glass of water. Ask for how you want that energy to go and sort of set your intention. October 28th, another day we've mentioned before, I think. But that's, again, really close to Halloween. That's when the opposition between Mars and Jupiter. So this is who you are and what you want, opposite your consciousness and belief systems. And how is that getting integrated at a higher level, especially after the other retrogrades with Venus and Mercury, right? So now you're on the other side of that and you've learned something. You've grown. You've put some pieces together. Certain things make more sense. All of that, right? So let's use the Jupiter and Uranus to upgrade our consciousness around the beauty way, around the Taurus things of food, sex, and money, We definitely want an upgrade there. Jupiter is all about improvement. Uranus is all about liberation. So however you need to do that, let's use the energies they're good for. 1028 is a good prayer day for Jupiter and calling in a new story between your power to create this life and the manifestation of your vision inside your imagination, you know, bringing those things into form. And then 1111 is when Mars is opposite Uranus. So we always work mojo on 1010, 1111, 1212, all that. So those are magical days. And that day, we will be asking for liberation in the Mars department, which is your passions and your sex life and what you care about and what you, like I said, get motivated for, your personal motivation. That's all being awakened. So that's all Mars. The other things I looked at for activations was Venus. This is our masculine and feminine. This is how we get anything done. This is what we look at when we're thinking personal and the rhythms of the year. So 9/29, which is our Aries full moon on that day, Venus in Leo is squaring off with Uranus in Taurus. So there's this kind of last round that she's got to go through. She's done with her retrograde hits, I believe. This is a one and done. But this is one of those things that's still tied to her upgrade where we are changing our presentation. And that means it's going to change how we live in our day to day, right? So however you have to do those upgrades, call in that full moon to clear out that which is no longer necessary and create space for planting new seeds. 1010 is a busy day energetically. Venus will be at one Virgo opposite Saturn at one Pisces. This is all magical because this is the day of our moon Venus contact in the Venus circle where Venus is releasing at one Virgo and 9 months from now, she's going to reclaim at one Virgo. And this was something special that I noted because you all know I'm a tracker and I have looked at this and we often will release and reclaim in the same sign, but I have never once seen it in the same exact degree. So I feel like that's another initiation point post her retrograde through Leo, coming into this new territory, activating a new system and being opposite Saturn is what can we build with it? What can we make permanent? What can we be responsible for? What can we handle, right? That's going to be important with our relationships and finances. How can we be more responsible? And at this point, still a little conservative because she's just coming out of the zone by then, right? So 1010, big prayer day for your relationships and finances and what you want to make real, connecting to that higher vision, to that new vision. 1021, Venus in Virgo. Now see, this is the thing. As she traverses Virgo, she's going to tap into all this other stuff going on up in the sky that we've already touched on. The Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus is Earth energy. Pluto is in Capricorn, Earth energy. So she's going to trine the big boys. And that's ease and grace for you to do the changes you need to do to make the improvements that you want to make, to calling in that new vision and the new story that you want to tell. That's super supportive. So 1021 is a prayer day for working with Venus and Jupiter are the two benefactors. It'll be Virgo to Taurus. So it's your physical systems. And again, with that food, sex, and money and your preferences and your creature comforts in ease and grace, getting an upgrade. Jupiter's only there once in 12 years. You got to use that benefactor for what it's good for. 1031 on actual Halloween, she will trine Uranus and Taurus. So it's back to back too. Think of how Jupiter expands our consciousness and thinking, and then Uranus comes in and just cracks us open and wakes us up to that next level. And there ain't no going back. And then the last trine will be November 6th with Pluto in Capricorn. In between there, November 3rd, she's going to oppose Neptune in Pisces. So right in between all this ease and grace is an integration with your spiritual practices. And we've already talked about how Saturn in Pisces is bringing that up. How can we be more consistent and organized with our spiritual practices? If you upgrade your spiritual practices right now, your reality will go a lot better. That's all I can tell you. And so with Venus across from Neptune, here is another energy that is best for creativity or spirituality. When those two get together, that's what time it is. So you're definitely still working in the other realms. So November 3rd is kind of a magical day right before our gate of power. So those activations are supporting us as well. That's the masculine feminine for our 6-week process. And now you've got a little heads up. It's a lot of working with Jupiter and Uranus the most and Pluto most and Saturn, you know, like I said, so all the big boys. Now our animal guide for the season is Raven. Raven is our archetype of the advocate. So again, we're looking at what works for you, what is balanced, what creates reciprocity with others, how is it all working so that you can stay sovereign, but still have connections and community and kinship, right? We still want all that, but we do want to try to remain as independent as possible. So we can call on Raven to activate our communication to a new level. We are composting our old needs and desires. We want something new. We want to do something new. We want to move in new ways. And we are tapping into our ancestral DNA. This is the time that wakes up the ancestor work and communication. And we are seeding the new relationships and the new support systems. So this is going to be interesting to see if and how Raven shows up over this time. And now for our guidance. So here's what I did, y'all. I looked at the fall equinox reading that I created over the years. And some of you have gotten it over the years, but it's been a minute. It is a really good one that I used to do. I still would do it now with the Osho Zen cards. So we like those Osho Zen cards because they're very Zen and they're very simple, one answer, ease and grace. So it's a 10-card reading that you would get personally. What I looked at is I realized the first three we could use for the collective very easily. And so that's what I did. But once we got to 4 to 8, it was way more personal. So I will be linking the readings that I do in the post call goodies so that if you all want to do one of those, I do all kinds of kind of similar readings that are all $25 for a PDF. I think it's like $75 if you want an MP3 and a PDF, and $125 if you want me to. But there's these great readings that I put together that have unique questions and different cards that we use. So we have that one because it's eclipse time. There's eclipse portal readings. The goddess readings have been popular lately, so I've been mentioning them a little more. And of course, the Venus reading, Astro Tarot reading are always there. But this will be under the seasonal readings on my readings page on Karmic Tools if you all want to go get your own. But what I did for the community was I did the first three. I want to run through them just so you know what they are. Number one is integration. Choose a goal or focus. What do I need to consider at this annual midpoint as I assess my year thus far? We're going to answer that question for the collective, for the community. Number two is gauge the imbalance. But when you get your personal one, it'll be all about you. Too much or too little? What is the most glaring or obvious excess or insufficiency at this time? Number three says commit, accept, then take the next step. Now that I'm clear on any imbalances or distractions, what supports me as I recommit? Those are the three we're going to do tonight that I pulled the goddess cards for. Then it goes on to number four, honor your nature, masculine, feminine. How can I honor my true nature while fortifying my less dominant nature? Because we all kind of lean in one way or another. Number five is navigating multi-dimensions, easier transitions. What do I need to have, know, or understand that will facilitate easier transitions? Number six is practice and perfect a rhythm, stabilization. What is strong within me that I simply need to reactivate and practice at this time? Number seven is be natural, anchor and own it. What have I completely mastered that can totally support me for the next 3 months? And number eight is the outcome, overview, or closing the year strong, because this is the fall equinox reading, which has its own. These are unique questions just for fall. What will ultimately support me within and protect me without? And then, of course, above and below. So, like I said, for me, I decided it was best to stick to the top three for all of us to share in a message. So, for the first one, integration, choosing a goal or focus, what do we need to consider at the annual midpoint? And I got number 38, Queen Nefertiti, alchemy. Nefertiti, we all got a version of her somewhere. And number 38, we're back with the numbers in the 11. Nefertiti is from the Temple of Queens, the element of fire. She's the goddess of alchemy in Egypt. Nefertiti was a legendary Egyptian queen whose name means a beauty has come. Celebrated as a goddess and her husband's equal, Queen Nefertiti led a spiritual revolution worshiping Aten, the sun god. Her guidance says it is time. You turn everything that life throws your way into gold. You are on the path to fulfilling your purpose. Embodiment says you are an alchemist. You have the power to bend universal energy. Dare to transmute lead into gold by shifting from fear to love. Everything you desire exists in some form of loving energy. Match this frequency. We're looking for the vibrational match. As you raise your vibe, everyone around you got to raise or go away. See it in your mind's eye first. Imagine it. I am loved fully. What does it look, taste, and smell like to be loved unconditionally? I am happy and healthy. See it. I am a money magnet. What does it feel like? The declaration says everything I touch turns to gold. So I took this to mean, because it's harvest time, that we need to be looking into what we've already created. Like I said, what's strong, what's resonant, what has energy. Part of the Venus retrograde was, and the instructions was, to go back over some creative projects and see if any of them still have any juice or life in them, and to reanimate, reactivate, and to elevate them, to bring them forward, but in a different way. When you tried to do it the first time, it just wasn't time. Now it might be time because you've had a huge upgrade inside and out, right? Then our second one was gauge the imbalance. What is too much or too little? What's the most glaring excess or insufficiency? And this one we got Miss Allah for grief. She's another beauty. She is number 29, another 11. Goddess of grief from Igbo, Nigeria, temple of lovers, element of bush, ancient earth mother. Allah is the foremost Igbo deity. Goddess Allah oversees motherhood, fertility, and the afterlife. After death, humans return to the womb of Allah, replanted in the soil to reincarnate. Give spirit your grief. Bawl it out, wail it out, cry it out. Sob, shriek, shed tears, surrender it. You are holding unprocessed grief. You want to skip over it and get back to quote unquote normal, but grief doesn't go away because you ignore it. The only way to healing is to walk through it. Losing a loved one is the ultimate heartbreak, but you also experience grief after breakups, job loss, and disappointments. Self-love and self-care are required. Ask for support. Be gentle with yourself. The declaration says, I am supported by my loved ones, those who are seen and those who are unseen. So again, calling in your invisible team to help with the grief work is powerful and useful to do that way. But this is deep because this says we still got some processing to do and things are excessive or insufficient in this area. So I'm curious what comes up for you all, if not now, right away, as the 6 weeks unfold. And then I know some of y'all are going to love this one. We got to number three, which is commit, accept, and take the next step. Now that I'm clear on any imbalances or distractions, which we said would be grief, right? Or unprocessed things coming up. Now, what supports me as I recommit? And we got number 40, which is Yemaya. And I know I got a bunch of Yemayas on here, but this one is particularly beautiful. Four to me is definitely stability. I do love the 22s. Yemaya, goddess of awakening, Yoruba, Nigeria, temple of the high priestesses, element of water, of course. Goddess Yemaya controls the ocean, the amniotic fluid that nurtures us before we know ourselves. The healing, loving energy of this Yoruba mother, Orisha, never leaves you. Wake up. Awaken now to your true self. Are those tears of joy or sorrow? Let them out. Yemaya swallows your tears. You are vibrating at a higher frequency, so you see everything differently. This is the goddess rising. You are waking up. And once you have experienced awakening, you can never go back to not knowing. Yeah, y'all, you can't unknow what you know, honey. The path of awakening is not straight, comfortable, or easy. You have chosen to lift the veil and have a real relationship with the divine. You didn't come to transcend this world while you're living in it. You came here to dig into the soil, plant yourself, and grow. This ascension is your divine purpose. The declaration says, I am receiving and radiating love. So that is it for the divination. So you are supported to move through the next 6 weeks of all good things. Welcome that balance. Really check in. If you're feeling the imbalances, bring it back. We got 6 weeks to reestablish balance within ourselves so that we can interact with others in better ways. I like that. That's what time it is. And if we go from Libra to Scorpio, we get ourselves together again before we go deeper with the ancestors. So we are recalibrating our relationship and connections with them at this time of year, every year. And I highly recommend it. You know, they are our team of support and they can help when no one else can. So always keep that connection going. All right, y'all. Much love. I'm glad I got to share the fire and the altar with you tonight. Me and my boys are going to hang out here, I hope.
Much get love. It, get it. Beautiful tonight. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Peace and love, everyone.